Welcome, Vashon and Maury Islands. This is History Worth Hearing. My name is Chris Austin, your host. This is a presentation of the Vashon Heritage Museum. And per usual, we would like to highlight the museum's talk this month. And we have a very special guest. Ed Brown is here. Let's see, you're with the, make sure I get it right, Steamer, I already forgot, it's Steamer Foundation for the Virginia V, Virginia Five?
The Steamer Virginia Five Foundation.
Okay, I almost got it right. Anyway, so you're the senior docent, and welcome.
Thank you.
First of all, can you give us just a little bit of history of this, you know, exquisite vessel? I mean, I was just looking up a little bit of it online, and it's just gorgeous.
Yeah, so the Virginia Five is, of course, the fifth in a series of boats named Virginia, and they all served the West Pass, or Colville's Pass, of between Vashon Island and the Kitsap Peninsula. So the ships made 12 stops along the West Pass, roughly.
And this was between Seattle and Tacoma, typically?
Yeah, so the boats started in Tacoma in the morning, crisscrossed their way up Colville's Pass, and then landed in Seattle, and then reversed the trip in the afternoon.
Oh, so one sailing per direction per day. Is that correct?
It varies from time period to time period.
Mm.
You know, for example, the Virginias 2 and 3 ran simultaneously, one on either side of Vashon.
Oh.
But the Virginia 4 ran by herself without a sailing partner.
I see. So were these unique in the sense of the other steamers that were plying the waters at that time? Was it anything particularly special about it?
Not particularly. So in the heyday of the Mosquito Fleet, there was over 300 stops around the Puget Sound.
Wow, really?
Yes, and that takes a fleet of several hundred boats to serve all 300 plus stops.
My goodness.
So what the Virginia Five and the previous Virginias did was nothing particularly unusual. Most steamers had made multiple stops along their route.
So when they would pick up passengers, of course, but would they also set up to pick up cargo? Like, I don't know, crates of fruit or bricks or whatever happened to be coming off the island?
Yes. So the Virginia Five would have carried freight and passengers. A lot of strawberries coming off the island, of course. A lot of chickens and eggs coming off the island. The ships also delivered anything to the island that needed to be delivered. So the Virginia Five had the mail contract for the west side of Vashon and delivered all of the mail for that side of the island.
Oh, okay.
Which included your letters and your postcards, but also your, you know, orders from the Sears catalog.
Yeah, so your plow blade or your kitchen sink or whatever Sears or Roebuck was selling.
Yes. We have a freight manifest for the Virginia Five, which details, it's a cost breakdown of how much every item costs to ship aboard the Virginia Five. And there's an unbelievable variety.
And I've even seen old photographs that they would deliver automobiles.
Probably not the Virginia Five. By the time she was running, there was automobile ferry service to the island.
Oh, okay.
The Vashon used to have three automobile ferry docks, one where it's current, the two in the current locations, and then one at Portage.
Yeah.
They discontinued Portage.
So there was this time when we had a robust mosquito fleet as well as ferries. So that was probably the best time ever to get off the island.
Yeah, you could catch a ferry from pretty much anywhere on the island.
Wow.
There was also robust service to Quartermaster Harbor. Places like Docton and Burton had fairly frequent service.
Oh, I can imagine Docton, you know, with its worker population and all the supplies that it needed to, you know, outfit or repair ships. That had to be a frequent stop.
Yeah. So one thing that the Virginia Five did good business in was resort traffic.
Oh, so like the Camp South girls or Campfire Girls, is that what they were? Or?
Yeah, so there's the Campfire Girls headed to Camp Sealp. The Virginia Five carried them every summer until about 1972 or 3.
Really? That recent? Wow.
Yes. So, but there was a lot of other resorts on the west side of Vashon Island. Lysa Beulah had a resort. Spring Beach had a resort. Sylvan Beach was a resort. I believe it was Spring Beach saw like 8,000 visitors in a single summer.
Really? Wow.
Yeah. The Virginia 5 carried a lot of summer traffic, especially.
I see. And was it purpose that really passenger more than freight, or was it just kind of built to take everything?
Built to take everything. The Virginia 5, for a number of years, had a freight elevator for loading freight onto the ship, and then would have loaded passengers onto a separate deck from the freight.
I see. Okay. Would that include livestock?
Yes, it would. If a cow needed to be shipped, there's only one good way to ship a cow.
Of course.
That's my boat. The Virginia 3 actually had a bull break loose from its crate and jump overboard.
Overboard?
And then the boat had to turn around and fish it out.
Wow! Who was the brave soul that got that job? Yeah, get the bull up back on board, new guy. Wow. So what was the propulsion on the Virginia 5?
The Virginia 5 has a triple expansion steam engine. It's a very typical three-cylinder, three-stage engine. You find these installed in a wide variety of boats. The Titanic had two of them, for example. A triple expansion engine works. Steam, under pressure, enters the high-pressure cylinder at the front of the engine and expands, which pushes the piston down.
Mm-hmm.
That same steam goes into the second cylinder, the intermediate pressure cylinder, and expands again. And then it goes into a low-pressure cylinder where it expands a third time before it leaves the engine. So each cylinder exhausts directly into the next cylinder in line.
Interesting. Well, since it's steam, they wouldn't be like depositing any kind of soot or, explosions that you get in a gasoline engine, you know, that leave all the crud. So, but steam is just going to be pure and, you know, unpolluted steam into the next cylinder. That's really interesting. So how much energy do you lose per cylinder? Like if you get 50% in the second one and 50% again, or how does that work?
Well, steam enters at 180 PSI and it leaves at a vacuum.
Oh, wow. That's pretty efficient. It's using everything. Yeah. Wow.
Because we have a condenser and the condenser turns the steam back into water. And the condenser, the process of turning steam back into water naturally creates a vacuum. The last cylinder in line has a natural slight vacuum to it.
And so is this a closed system that you're just using the same water over and over?
Yep. Unlike a steam locomotive, we never need to stop for water.
Yeah. Well, why don't steam locomotives do that?
Well, we have a ready source of cooling water. So we have a heat exchanger on board, which uses raw water from outside as cooling water.
I see.
To cool the steam back into water. On a steam locomotive, it would take a massive radiator-like structure to get the air to cool the steam efficiently.
I see. Yeah.
It was tested, but it never worked.
So what's a fuel that you use to heat the water? Is it wood? Is it coal?
We are an oil-burning steamship and always have been. The ship originally burned what's called Bunker C. Mm. Today we burn normal diesel number 2.
Okay. So what year was it? Was it made?
The engine?
Oh, and just well, both actually.
Okay. The engine was manufactured in 1904, so it does predate the ship.
Wow.
The engine was first installed into the Virginia 4. It was then removed from the 4 and installed into the 5.
Was that a common practice?
To save engines? Yes. A steam engine often has a longer life than the hull it's installed in.
Oh, my goodness.
Steam engines run at such low RPM, and there's no combustion happening inside of them. They're very long-lasting. And it's a lot cheaper to get a used engine than a new one.
Oh, well, that makes sense. Where do you find someone to work on this?
Well, all of our crews volunteer. Mm-hmm. So we're blessed with people who are really into old steam engines. We train them on how to work on our engine. And we train them how to run our engine.
Yeah.
And we hope that they stay with us for a long time.
Well, that's a big investment for sure. And so if you need a part, are they all just specialty one-offs made?
Yes.
Oh, that sounds expensive.
Yes.
So can you, are there old steam engines around to cannibalize, like older, you know, ships that used to sail, or?
Not particularly. So our main engine, the propulsion engine, was one of two identical engines. They did not mass manufacture engines like this. Mm. They made them specialty to order.
Oh, I see.
So the other engine that our ship is, that our engine is the twin to, does not exist anymore.
Oh.
So we can't just pull parts off random steam engines because it won't fit.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, sure. So they would make this engine to say, okay, it's going to fit a boat that's this size and this much tonnage. And so it's, you kind of cater it to the vessel it's going to be in, I imagine.
Yes.
Yeah. Okay.
However, we do also have a lot of steam powered pumps, water pumps and things like that. And those were mass manufactured.
Hmm.
And so we can get occasionally get parts for those. We have a little collection of spare engines.
So
spare pumps.
Do you have like the blueprints and all the specs for these things, or was that lost in time as well? 100 years, my goodness.
Yeah, we don't have any blueprints or specs for the engine. It doesn't even have a builder's plate.
Hmm. Wow.
We do have manuals for a lot of our pumps because we have a few engineers who really like collecting old books about stuff.
That's helpful.
So you go to antique stores and sometimes you can find books about steam engineering from 1900.
Where were these engines made?
So our main propulsion engine was built by Heffernan Engine Works of downtown Seattle.
Oh, so yeah, they were local. Okay.
Yeah. They had a shop on Railroad Avenue, which is now Alaska Way.
Oh. And the ship itself, where was it made?
The ship was built in Maplewood, Washington. The town of Maplewood was just south of Olalla.
Okay.
Yeah. It doesn't really exist anymore.
Okay.
Well, this ship was not built in a shipyard. The Virginia 5 was built in someone's backyard.
Really?
Yeah. So there's a very talented shipbuilder named Matt Anderson. And he was, I believe, in his 60s when he built the Virginia 5. And he built her in his backyard with the help of his son and some local shipwrights.
Wow.
So there was no big shipyard in Maple.
Yeah. Like a mom and pop operation launching. Well, how long is the Virginia 5?
She's 125 feet long and displaces about 200 tons.
That's a good weekend project there.
Yeah. Her keel was laid in October of 1921. The hull was launched in March of 1922, and she completed her maiden voyage June of 1922. So it took less than a year to build.
And these would have been, I'm assuming, all local materials and nothing exotic.
The ship is built entirely of Douglas fir.
So how often do you take it out, like in its present day?
In a typical year, we can do 50 to 70 cruises. For example, this year we are busy pretty much every single weekend through October.
Well, at least you got some good weather finally.
Yeah.
So how about during the winter? Is that the repair season?
Our off season to do repairs is from January through April. We operate through the end of December because we get a lot of Christmas cruises.
Oh, sure. Yeah. And this is, like we mentioned, the 100th anniversary. What anything in particular are you doing besides just a century celebration?
Yeah, so we've got the exhibit at Vashon Heritage, and I'm giving a talk.
Oh, good.
Do
you know the date? I should have that handy.
I believe it's the 11th of August.
Yep, that sounds about right. And that'll be at 7 p.m. on a Thursday.
Yes. We did a cruise from Seattle to Tacoma via the West Pass, where we pretended to call it all the ship's old ports.
Oh,
yeah. We can't actually call it any of them anymore because most of them no longer have docks.
Of course. Yeah. What's the longest voyage you'll take now with this?
The longest voyage is when we go from Seattle to Olympia.
Okay. Will you ever go leave the Puget Sound?
I don't believe so. We are licensed for inland waters.
Oh, I see.
There was talk of going to Victoria for a festival, but that's a long way to go.
Yeah, yeah.
For example, the engine requires someone to constantly be on watch in the engine room.
Oh, well, that's a big crew thing right there.
Yeah, so multi-hour voyages become very long for our engineers.
Oh.
Our typical voyage is 2 to 3 hours.
Okay.
When we're out for 5 hours or longer, it's a long day for the crew.
And now, it's a crew that's watching the engine. Are they below decks, or can they at least get some sunshine?
They're on the engine deck. Now, our engine deck does have windows that open.
Oh, good.
So we're one of the rare ships where you can stand next to the engine and get fresh air and sunlight.
Oh.
Though it still can be rather warm because it is a steamboat and there is fire.
How noisy is this?
The engine is very quiet. Being a steam engine, there's no combustion noise.
Mm.
If you're not on the engine deck, standing near the engine, it's difficult to hear it at all.
Oh, wow. That's great. Well, you know, that makes sense. I remember watching Jay Leno's Garage, you know, the
yes.
late night guy, and he had a Stanley steamer. It was a steam engine car. And that's what struck me. It was how quiet it was. Just a little put, 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 put. And that was it.
And we don't even make that because we're not an exhausting engine. We're a condensing engine. So sometimes people will ask me, are there any other steamboats on the lakes? And I'll say no, because there's small steam launches of under 20 feet, but there's no big steamboats besides us. And I'll ask them why. And they'll say that I saw a boat that was chuffing from its smokestack. And I'll say, well, then it wasn't a steamboat.
Of course, because that's exhaust of the combustion. Interesting. Well, yeah, but I went to Wikipedia very quickly, and it mentioned that it was one of two steamships on the Puget Sound. What's the other one?
Well, we're one of two old Mosquito Fleet boats on Puget Sound.
Okay, that's what
the other one is. Not a steamboat and never has been. It's the Carlisle II of Kitsap Transit.
Okay. And what is that propulsion?
That originally it had a hot bulb engine. Today it has a modern diesel.
Oh, okay. Okay. Do any ships use coal or even wood? Homage to the history.
Yeah, there are no coal-burning ships on Puget Sound, to my knowledge. There are coal-burning ships on the Great Lakes. And the only other steamboat of the Virginia Five's type is in Mystic, Connecticut, the Sabino. And Sabino is coal-burning.
Okay. You ever heard of a steamship in New Zealand on the South Island? Does that ring any bells?
No, but there are steamboats all around the world. There's a number in Britain and across the UK that still burn coal.
Yeah, I was in New Zealand on a bicycle trip, and I took this steamer across a lake, and they said it was like the last one. Must have been the last one in New Zealand, but it was, I didn't have smokestack. I didn't see the smokestack, so I'm assuming maybe it was the steamer, but it was really gorgeous ship. Well, what else would you like our audience to know? Anything?
Well, there's what the Virginia Five has been up to since she stopped being a ferry. That's a really interesting history.
Yeah, well, please tell us.
Yeah, so the Virginia Five retired from the West Pass route in 1938. She did summers only for 39 in 1940 to serve all of the resorts on Vashon.
Mm-hmm.
But that was not enough business. So the ship started looking for other jobs to do. She briefly went bankrupt and was seized by the U.S. Marshals. The owner took out a second mortgage on his house to buy her back. Okay. They did sightseeing cruises to the new Tacoma Narrows Bridge, which worked until the bridge fell down. And then in 1942, they sent the ship to the Columbia River.
Oh, really?
So the ship ran ferry service from Portland to Astoria. She is the last passenger steamer to have operated on the Columbia River. And that lasted until 1943, so for 1 year, because she went bankrupt again.
Oh.
And was seized by the U.S. Marshals for a second time due to back wages owed to her crew. Several thousand dollars of debt owed to the crew.
Who is this owner? This poor person.
So the ship was owned by the West Pass Transportation Company that was originally headed up by Nels G. Christensen. He was a resident of Lysabula on Vashon Island. And he headed the company until his death. And then his son, Nels C. Christensen, and his other son, Vern Christensen, took over. The second Nels died as well, leaving Vern Christensen sort of holding the bag. So he apparently had a very rough time.
Certainly sounds like it.
Yeah. After the second seizure, the ship was sold at auction. She was purchased by Doc Freeman of the Fremont Boat Company.
Okay.
And Doc Freeman had her brought back to Puget Sound and then sold her again to a Captain Howell Parker, who started her life doing excursion cruises, which is what we still do today. We're just now a nonprofit.
Wow, that poor boat's been through the ringer.
Yes. We consider it a miracle we still have her.
Well, I think it is. It really is. And so after you said this was christened in 1922, were there other boats being constructed after that, or was this kind of the end of the line?
It's nearing the end of the line. There was only, I think, 5 boats constructed in the 20s and 30s on Puget Sound. The last one was a boat named Concordia.
Oh, I've read a little bit about this boat. I found a picture of it. I think they were taking all the Tacoma paperboys out on a picnic. Have you seen that photo?
Yes, I have. And she was a quartermaster harbor boat.
Yeah. And what I read was during its construction, the owner found out if it was under 65 feet that it needed one less crew member. So he had them lop it off below 65 feet. And that's why the stern looks so kind of weird.
Yeah. If you ever see her, she looks oddly short.
Yeah.
Shorter than she should be.
Bobtailed steamer. Well, I can't wait to hear your talk. I know you're going to have a lot more information, and I really appreciate you taking the time to do this. Thank you so much. Anything else you'd like to say to our worldwide audience?
I invite everyone to come down and visit the ship. During our off season, we have open ship hours Thursdays through Sundays from noon to 5. And in the summers, we have public cruises.
And where is it docked in the when you're not sailing?
We are usually docked at Lake Union Park behind the Museum of History and Industry.
Oh, okay.
Ship's somewhere else, you can find it listed on our website.
Okay, that makes sense.
Our website is virginiav.org.
Okay, wonderful. Well, once again, your talk is on the 11th, a Thursday night at 7 p.m. You can come in live or via Zoom, right? This is one of the hybrid talks. Okay. And that's at the Land Trust building for people on the island. And I wish you all the best of luck. And thank you again for taking the time to do this.
All right. Thank you for having me.
All right. Take care.
Well, that's our show, Vashon and Maury Islands. I really appreciate you listening. And I hope you can join us Thursday the 11th at 7 p.m. to hear Ed Brown talking about this really incredible vessel. And it's one of a kind here on the Puget Sound, and this is just a wonderful opportunity to learn about it and see it. So to sign up for the talk or to learn more about the subject, please go to VashonHeritageMuseum.org. I hope to see you at the talk, and take care.